Good afternoon, everyone, and it's Saturday, and welcome to the Saturday, June 29th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. Thanks, members, for your flexibility. We have four bills on our schedule today, and I think we'll take them slightly out of order, but we will start with Senate Bill 845, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 845. Just to clarify before I welcome Patrick Brennan, who is our guest celebrity committee administrator on this bill, we do not have paperwork to allow us to move this bill today, but we are going to take testimony because I know people came down just to talk about it, and so we will accommodate that. So, Patrick, could you tell us about this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The bill, as it comes to you from the Senate Committee on Business Transportation, authorized the Governor and Director of DLCD to exempt certain land use decisions from appeal if contracting with a member of the traded sector industry who agrees to acquire or develop large site industrial land. We have before us, however, the Dash 7 Amendment. The Dash 7 Amendment is a replacement for the measure. The Dash 7 Amendment, as written, outlines legislative findings and defines terms used in the measure and authorizes the Economic Recovery Review Council to review proposed economic opportunity projects of statewide significance within the urban growth boundary of Metro and on land designated as urban reserve and expedite review of the proposals if it determines that there's an adequate workforce, commitments to fund infrastructure and services, and that the project does not require an environmental impact statement. The Dash 7s also specify that the Council may expedite only one project and may not issue a project certificate under the measure after December 31st, 2015. The outline notice and public hearing requirements require consideration of input from local and state permitting agencies and application of standards and criteria during that review process. The amendment declares that the Council has exclusive jurisdiction to approve a permit and requires issuance of a project certificate if the project complies with the standards and criteria. It specifies that an expedited project review is not subject to the contested hearings process. It specifies that an issued project certificate, once signed, binds the employer to construct and operate the project, permits the City of Hillsborough and Washington County to change their comprehensive plans, and limits the review authority of the Department of Land Conservation and Development for the project. It establishes a penalty if the employer does not meet or exceed employment levels for at least 5 years. It allows the Council to assess a fee on the employer to recover costs to the state and local agencies for the expedited review process. It specifies that the Land Use Board of Appeals does not have jurisdiction over the project permitted by the measure and that the final order may be only appealed by participants to the Court of Appeals and outlines the reasons for which the court could vacate or modify the decisions. And finally, the measure has an emergency clause and would take effect upon passage.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. And so that was the summary of the Dash 7s, which replaced the bill, correct?
Yes, correct, Madam Chair.
And so we, I don't believe, yes, did you want to talk about this before we ask anybody else to come up?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
So, colleagues, this is a bill that was introduced really as a placeholder bill. As Oregon is in the process of competing for the selection of a significant high-tech company that will likely bring with it, if it would select Oregon, $1 billion of investment and up to 1,000 high-paying, high-wage, high-tech jobs. If Oregon is selected by this company, the identified site for the company is a 330-acre site in North Hillsborough. And this is the area of North Hillsborough that has been brought into the urban growth boundary. Went through the whole urban-rural reserve process and ultimately was brought in by Metro into Hillsborough's urban growth boundary, identified as industrial land. This is exactly why this land was brought in to the urban growth boundary, so that we could recruit companies just like this company and bring them to Oregon in the high-paying and investment, high-paying jobs and the capital investment. The process is one where both, I believe, the urban rural reserve decision and the urban growth boundary decision has been appealed. And so the land itself that this company is potentially looking to site upon is in this legal limbo or legal flex. We'd hoped, quite honestly, that the court would have made a decision before now and would prove this bill unnecessary, but the court hasn't, and we're getting close to the end of the session. And we believe, and I believe it makes sense to send a signal to this company that Oregon is serious about recruiting the company to Oregon. This does set out a process that would allow us to, I think, complete at least the land use piece of this to allow for the recruitment of that company and those jobs. So that's the purpose of the bill, and I appreciate, Madam Chair, the willingness to hear it and potentially move it with the DAF 7 amendments. The DAF 7 amendments have, I think, are the second set of amendments that have been suggested to really to narrow the focus of the bill specifically to this one project, this one opportunity. And at the end of the day, recruiting thousands of high-paying, high-wage jobs is good for all of Oregon, and not just one part of our state. But Hillsboro, quite honestly, is uniquely positioned to recruit these kinds of companies because of all the other industry that is located in their area. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you for those introductory comments, Senator Starr. And because I don't believe this bill ever had a public hearing prior to arriving here, we're going to take some testimony, even though we are in a work session. And we did put out a sign-up sheet, and three people signed up to testify, Inga Deckert, Jim McCauley, and Mary Kyle McCurdy. I don't know if you're together or separately, so I'll just call you in order, and you can group yourselves accordingly. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And whichever of you would like to go first, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Inga Deckert here this afternoon on behalf of the City of Hillsboro. The City of Hillsboro is supportive of Senate Bill 845 and the Dash 7 amendments. As staff read through the description of the amendments, and as Senator Starr described, the purpose for the city supporting and requesting these amendment, this bill and the amendments is twofold. One, to send a signal to the company that is looking at a site here in Oregon that Oregon is serious about its recruitment effort. Obviously, Business Oregon and the governor's office is involved with that. And we think that this sends a strong signal of the state's willingness to work with companies should they decide to locate here. And second, is to provide certainty around the land use designation that 330-acre parcel that is located within the city of Hillsboro currently has been designated urban reserve, and it is within the UGB. As Senator Starr mentioned, both of those designations are currently being contested in court. The first case has to do with the urban reserve designation. That case is before the Court of Appeals, and we had hoped that we would have the court would have issued an opinion by now on that decision, and that would give us some clarity one way or another whether this legislation was actually necessary, and that obviously hasn't happened, so we thought, again, it was time to bring this bill forward. The city and I worked very closely with some other interested parties on this legislation. Our intent is that the Dash 7 amendments are drafted so narrowly that they really only apply to that one particular 330-acre parcel and really only is available for the Project Azalea opportunity. And I think we've accomplished that in the amendments. We've made quite a few changes and put some timelines in there, along with the condition that this process could only be used once. So I think we have accomplished that and, you know, been rather constructive and accommodating in trying to ensure that a decision or a legislation like this doesn't impact or potentially impact acreage outside of that for which it's intended. So I'm happy to answer any more questions or happy to answer any questions or provide any more detail about the bill and those requirements.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. I think we'll hold questions so we've heard from all of you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jim McCauley representing Washington County. I'll keep my comments real brief here. So with the Dash 7s that are in front of you, we're in full support of Hillsborough's effort. I don't want to repeat much of what Inga has said, but we're certainly in line with what these create as far as a process and what we would refer to largely as a procedural improvement or a procedural step that's going to streamline and improve some of the efficiency for siting this specific company. I do want to speak to the Dash 5 and Dash 6s that some of you may be aware of. Those would go against work that has been ongoing since the 2007 session when we went through and passed the Rural Reserves Bill, Senate Bill 745. I was actually working for Home Builder Association at the time and was part of the the small group that had gotten together well in advance of the session to put together a different approach to going through the urban growth boundary expansion process. And we've been working on this since 07, so we're I've been ticking into the five-year range, literally thousands of hours worth of public involvement in hearings, in forums, in other associated meetings, and then ultimately a decision that was supported by Washington County, Multnomah County, Metro, several cities. Bottom line is it was an incredibly lengthy process and very difficult to reach a delicate balance, and I think the Dash 5s and Dash 6 amendments would literally tear that process apart, and if those were to get in this bill, we would oppose it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Senator Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. My name is Mary Kyle McCurdy, representing 1,000 Friends of Oregon. We have worked with the City of Hillsborough on the Dash 7 amendments to ensure that the language is focused on this particular site for a user similar to that, which is rumored to be something like whatever Azalea might be. And we appreciate the City of Hillsborough's willingness to work to narrow the language. Nonetheless, we have introduced or presented to you the Dash 5 and Dash 6 amendments, which are the same as the Dash 7 with the added protection for Helvetia area north of Highway 26 in two different versions of that, and I'm going to get that to that in a moment. I first want to get a little bit into the background of this bill and 1,000 Friends' work on it. We've advocated for policies that ensure industrial land is available and remains available in the right places with infrastructure and near to where people live and transportation facilities exist for workers and products. We've done that often in controversial settings, such as our support of Senate Bill 766 and our support of some bills that are going through the session, I believe still going through the session now. But we've also advocated for the protection of the land use base that's critical to Oregon's number two industry, agriculture. That's also the number two industry in Washington County, worth over $300 million in direct sales each year. Oregon's agricultural industry has continued to grow and flourish even during the economic downturns that other industries, including high tech, have experienced. That's why we're opposed to the Dash 7 amendments. In order to supersite one possible industrial user, this bill would override Oregon's land use planning program and the right of citizens to participate in it, including the right to seek redress in court if they believe state or local officials have violated the law. We believe that's a violation or an undermining of the public trust in the rule of law if it can be overrun really by an anonymous speculative industrial suitor. SB 845 has been described as necessary because of the appeals that are clouding the status of this particular site of interest to Azalea, the 330 acres. However, that's not correct in terms of how we got to where we are. There are two appeals pending, but many who appealed the decision, including 1,000 Friends and local farmers, have proposed a compromise in this very area, north of Hillsborough and south of Highway 26, which is the focus of this bill, and which would have resulted in not only these 330 acres, but hundreds of acres more being included in the reserves and in the boundary, and they would be in today. However, that is not the decision that was made by Metro or LCDC. 9 state agencies and 1,000 friends and various farmers advocated using natural boundaries such as creeks, streams, and ravines to define areas for urban reserves. And we recommended using those boundaries, which, as I said, would have resulted in hundreds of acres in the Azalea area being inside the reserves in the UGB. But that's not what Metro and Washington County did. They approved a much larger area for urban reserves, over 2,000 acres, all farmland, resulting in a boundary that is simply an invisible line in the middle of a field. That, in our view, is overreaching, knowing the decision would be appealed. That's unfortunate. Many in that same original process, including all 9 state agencies, and including, this was not a unanimous decision at the local level on the part of all 3 counties, many in that original reserves process also stated that the Helvetia area, which is the subject of the Dash 5 and Dash 6 amendments, which is north of Highway 26 and separated from the Hillsboro Industrial Cluster by 26, warranted rural reserve protection under the reserves law because it is of high agricultural value. It's over 600 acres of primarily Class 1 and Class 2 soils. That's the best of the best. It's an intact farming area, and it has quite a bit of agricultural infrastructure, including extensive tiling underneath all of it, and it's of cultural and historical significance. The Helvetia area contains Native American sites, and it's the original area of Swiss settlement in Oregon. Both those traditions are celebrated annually in festivals in Helvetia. This protection is still necessary for Helvetia. We believe that if the extraordinary measures authorized by Senate Bill 845 with the Dash 7 amendments is passed, the protection of the Helvetia agricultural area is appropriate as a balance to protect Oregon and Washington County's number 2 industry. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have questions for these witnesses? So, Ms. McCurdy, I just wanted to ask, so these lawsuits that are pending, what would be the effect on them if this bill were to pass in some form, presumably with some of these amendments?
Chair Rosenbaum, the intent of the bill, and I believe that we have crafted it that way, is that the lawsuits would have no impact, that this bill, and as I said, the Dash 7s is also contained in the Dash 5 and 6. The Dash 5 and 6 contain 2 different versions of protecting Helvetia area. The intent is that regardless of the outcome of the appeals decisions, this 330 acres is available for an industry as defined in the Dash 7s during a particular window of time. And I want to make sure the City of Hillsboro agrees with that. That was our intent. Yeah.
So that basically passage of the bill would render the current lawsuits moot, it sounds like.
Chair Rosenbaum,
just for this one site. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, just for this particular site,
yes.
Not for the rest.
Not everything else.
We are not the only entity that has appealed the reserves decision. There's local governments who have appealed it. There's developers who have appealed it. There's private landowners who have appealed it. So there's quite a few issues pending before the court on the reserves. There's 8 or 9 different entities that have appealed it. So it would not impact the decision except for this piece of land.
Okay. Sounds like everybody agrees with that would be the case. Okay. I guess for the folks from Hillsboro and Washington County, I think you addressed this, or at least Mr. McCauley did, but could you just go over again why the version that deals with this Helvetia property in the Dash 6 would torpedo this whole deal?
So, Madam Chair, I can go over it from my perspective, and then I'm sure Jim has a perspective as well. From my perspective, a bill like Senate Bill 845, sort of regardless of which amendment you choose, is controversial, and for the city was not, is not our first choice. I mean, again, our first choice would be that there not be a need for this legislation, and that somehow either through the court decision or through some action on the part of the company that is looking at this site, There would have been some decision made that would have shed light on sort of which direction, you know, to go and whether or not we needed this legislation. Since neither of those happened, again, the intent was to draft this as narrowly as possible and just deal with those 330 acres. Which I think we have accomplished that, and as Mary Kyle just mentioned, I mean, I think we're in agreement on that. Where we're not in agreement is the city does not see this legislation then as opening the door for the opportunity to change the land use designation on roughly 700 acres of land that is north of Highway 26 and that has nothing to do with Project Azalea or the Project Azalea opportunity.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Further questions? Okay, looks like no one else has any. Thanks a lot for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on Senate Bill 845? Okay, seeing no one and we do not have paperwork for this, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 845. And I see that Representative Gorsuch is with us and has been waiting very patiently, so I think we'll go to his bill next. And welcome back, Lori. So I'll open a work session on House Bill 3316B. And Lori, could you please tell us what this is?
I'd be happy to. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3316B requires Secretary of State to conduct performance audit of Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District, otherwise known as TriMet. Specifies that audit shall examine, report, and make recommendations regarding any significant issues identified by the audit in relation to governance of TriMet, including immediate and long-term operational structure, practices and functions, transparency of operations, practices, and compliance with state and federal laws generally. Directs Secretary of State to submit audit to Legislative Assembly on or before January 30th, 2014, declares an emergency. It's effective on passage. There's no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, no statement issued. Those are attached, however, by hard copy to your SMS.
Okay, thanks, Lori, and welcome, Representative Gorsuch. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chris Gorsuch. I'm the District 49 rep for the Oregon House of Representatives, and I'm here to speak with you briefly, very briefly, I promise, on 3316. This proposal is designed to answer what appear to be a number of questions that are swirling around TriMet at the present time and actually have been for quite some time. I believe that the best way that we can answer these issues and find a clear way forward for the agency is for the Secretary of State's office to conduct a full audit to let us know what works and let us know what doesn't work so that we can help the agency continue to move forward and not fail, essentially.
Okay, thanks for your brevity and for your testimony. And any questions, Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, does this organization have an unfunded actuarial liability for its retirement program?
I believe it does.
Madam Chair, could I get some idea of the amount of the unfunded actuarial liability?
Unfortunately, I don't have that information myself.
I assume that information might come out in the audit.
Madam Chair, I think it's multiple times its annual operating budget. Is that your understanding?
I believe so. The only thing that I can answer to is I believe their upcoming budget will be somewhere in the $470 million range for their operational budget, but I don't know more detailed specifics.
Follow up?
Well, I'm sure I don't wish to bedevil the witness. It's just that my impression is that the unfunded actuarial liability is in the neighborhood of five times the annual operating budget.
I think
it wouldn't
the representative
surprise.
Has told us he doesn't have the specific answer
and
to
I
this
I certainly
today,
appreciate the representative bringing his testimony for this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks. Other questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You too. And members, we are in a work session. Senator Farioli, did you have
a motion. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3316B to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Farrioli has moved House Bill 3316B to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries. We do need a carrier on the floor because I don't see a Senate sponsor on the bill. Do we have a volunteer?
Okay,
great. Senator Starr will carry the bill on the floor, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 3316B. And I'll open a work session on House Bill 3460A. Lori?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3460A requires the Oregon Health Authority, hereafter OHA, to establish by rule medical marijuana facility registration system for transfer of usable marijuana between grow sites and registry identification card holders. It establishes a minimum facility application, location, and security requirements. It requires OHA to conduct criminal background check of facility applicants and refuse registration if a responsible individual has prior felony drug conviction. Requires facility test marijuana for pesticides, mold, and mildew. Requires facility receive authorization from registry card holder prior to receiving marijuana from grow site. It exempts the facility from marijuana plant and usable amount limits. It allows OHA to inspect the facility and records to ensure compliance. It allows registry card holder to reimburse facility for normal and customary costs of doing business. Requires OHA notify former facility of registration card holder declares an emergency is effective on passage. There's an A9 amendment attached by hard copy to SMS. Removes the reference on page 2 to the Class A or Class B felony, and there also is a removal of a certain provision pertaining to operative effect to clarify the prospective application. That's on page 11 of the measure as drafted. There's a no revenue impact, and your SMS can be updated to include the fiscal statement that we have just attached that was issued by fiscal.
Okay, thank you, Lori, for that explanation. And looks like we have someone here who could explain the amendment and how it got to be here. And I think, let me see who that is. They're coming forward. Great. Are you Dan Norris?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Senator.
Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. If you could just introduce yourself for the record.
Chair Rosenblum, Vice Chair Farrioli, members of the committee. I'm Dan Norris. I'm the District Attorney in Malheur County, Oregon. And on the House side, my association didn't artfully express our objections in a way that it could be fixed over there, so my apologies for that. On Wednesday of this week, we more artfully expressed our concerns to the proponents, and they promptly alleviated our concerns. Our concerns were that Oregon felons couldn't run a dispensary, but if they were convicted in Idaho or any other state or under federal law, they could come in and not be exempted. That's been fixed by the removal of the language regarding to drug crimes under ORS 475. Our other concern was dispensaries could begin operating before the Oregon Health Authority could institute rules for their operation. And by removal on page 11, lines 25 through 32, that problem has been taken care of. And with those changes, the district attorneys no longer oppose the bill.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you again for clarifying and for being here. I know you came from a ways away, so thanks for being here on a Saturday. It's probably a little cooler here, though.
Yes.
Okay, is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 3460? Seeing no one, we are in a work session. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash A9 amendments dated 6/27/13.
Thank you. Senator Beyer has moved the Dash A9 amendments to House Bill 3460. Is there discussion on the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Seeing none, amendment is adopted. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3460 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Thank you. Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 3460 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Yes, Senator Stark.
I understand where the district attorneys are, but as other law enforcement, have they weighed in? Are they supportive? Are they opposed? Are they neutral? Do we know? I mean, I haven't worked this bill. Does anybody in the audience know if sheriffs or chiefs are okay or?
So I think we do have somebody here who's been working on the bill. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, do you? Okay.
That would be helpful. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Why don't you come forward?
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Sugarman. I represent Oregonians for Medical Rights, and we were the ones who brought the bill forward. There have been two public hearings on the bill, and there has been no opposition testimony whatsoever from any of the other law enforcement agencies. We learned about the concerns of the DAs on Wednesday, and we've addressed those. We have heard of no other concerns at this point, Senator Starr.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. So we are on a motion. Is there further discussion? I would just say that it's, to me, this bill, although I haven't been following it that closely, addresses an unregulated situation by regulating it, and it seems like that would be a step in the right direction. So I'll be supporting it. So on the motion, is there objection? Okay. Then I guess we don't need to call the roll, and the motion carries. And I see that Senator Prezansky is the chief sponsor on the Senate side, so we'll ask him if he will carry this on the floor.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought that since Senator Beyer has worn a shirt adorned with marijuana flowers, that he's...
Senator Beyer, did you dress just for this bill?
I'll leave it to Senator Prezansky.
Great, I think that's a wise move. Okay, so we'll ask Senator Prezansky to carry the bill on the floor, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 3460. Got to have some fun on a Saturday afternoon. And so that brings us to the last bill, and I know, that, Lori, that we were awaiting an additional amendment, but I'm guessing we don't have it yet.
Do you have to send it easy and explain? I can explain it to you right now. LC is in the process. It'll take about 20 minutes because there's more than just moving.
Okay. How about if...
Pick it up on Monday.
Yeah, probably, but I think we... So we were awaiting an amendment on the remaining bill. LC is working on it. Sounds like they're about 20 minutes away from completion. And so, members, we could move this bill with that amendment if we were willing to wait those 20 minutes. Otherwise, it would have to wait until Monday. So what's the pleasure of the committee?
Monday, ma'am. Monday? I don't think the situation is going to change between now and Monday, and we will be here.
Okay, so I suppose unless we have someone who needs to testify today, we can just
take it up again. All these poor people will have to come back again.
Yeah, can I just see, are there people who came to testify on House Bill 3162 who will not be here on Monday? Looks like they'll be here on Monday. So,
love this. The whole day here, just waiting for this moment. Yeah. Come back again.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So I do. Then I guess we won't take this up today. However, we do have one more thing for today, and that is that this is Lori's last day with us. Because she signed up to staff a very challenging and far-ranging and delightful committee, but her time with us expires at the end of this month. And so she wasn't able to join us the other night when we went out for our committee party because she was hard at work making sure all of our bills that we had done that day got dropped and filed. And I did embarrass her a little bit by thanking her that day. But we really, really, really do appreciate that you brought an incredible amount of energy, your legal acumen and good humor and just flexibility to this job. And so we're going to miss you a lot and really appreciate what you have done for us. Mm-hmm. And we had a little gift for you. from
okay,
the committee.
All these people need to stay.
Thank you very much, Lori, for everything that you've done this whole session. And we know it won't be the last time we see you in the building, but probably the last time we see you in this committee for this session. So thanks again for really an outstanding job. We really
appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, it's been a delight.
Thank you. Thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay. Okay, and members, with nothing further to come before us, we are adjourned.